With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I think we're live. Right, hello, welcome to the latest Pink and Facebook Live via Zoom. Still very socially distanced. Dave Freezer here, one side of Norwich, and Connor Southwell the other. We thought there's quite a bit to catch up on here. Norwich, of course. I'm gonna make the first attempt at the pronunciation here. So, my. I'm nervous. Chemisor Poicheta, I think, is the rough direction that we're going with. And Norwich's first Polish player. And Connor, you have been doing a bit of digging on this lad, haven't you? And he certainly sounds like he's got pace.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing we can say. There's probably not much we can say with certainty about Poicheta. But I think the fact that he's quick is probably one of them. So there's going to be a piece later on the Pink, and I catch up with a Polish, or he's based in Norwich, but he's actually a scout for the Polish FA. I won't even try and pronounce his name, because I think we'll be in a lot of difficulty with that and Poicheta. But he essentially said that Norwich can expect a lot of pace from him. I think it was 30 metres he ran in 3-point-something seconds, so, which he said is on Usain Bolt level, so very, very quick. And I think probably if we look at Norwich City this season and their attack, beyond Onel Hernandez, they probably lacked a player with that sort of raw pace in attacking phases. So it gives them something a little bit different in the final third. And it was an area that Stuart Webber identified last week when we spoke to him, when me and Pad went down to Colney. He said that Norwich probably needed more pace and a bit more physicality. And I'm sure we'll come on to Sorensen, but he seems to offer Norwich a bit of physicality. And now we seem to have got the pace. So, with further recruits that are to come, I'm sure it'll be interesting to see whether we see those two areas sort of added to a little bit more.
Keith Shrek Shaw says, "Put your teeth in straight, Connor." I think we're all going to have fun with that. But the last name isn't that bad, is it? Poicheta.
I think the L essentially becomes a W, doesn't it? I think that's really the change.
So, the club have put out a little video with him pronouncing it himself, and even that didn't help me a great deal. But Poicheta, I think we can all get used to that, can't we? It's similar with Sorensen, isn't it? It's got the accent on the O, so I guess that's Sorensen in Danish terms. But let's not go down that route, shall we? We've got some comments coming in on Facebook already. Please do get your comments in on there. And there's also Sorensen. We've heard Sean Raggett is being released today as well. There's been various bits and pieces, and there's going to be plenty more in the days and weeks ahead. I think that's fairly safe to say. Here we go. There's another interesting name. Herman Shitakata, that's my best guess, asks, "Are we expecting anyone else from Germany soon? I've seen interesting flight logs between Germany and Norwich." Well,
wow.
That is that's quite the commitment. But, of course, there's going to be a lot of people already at the club who are flying to him from Germany, aren't there? There's backroom staff and players. You know, Moritz Leitner's been back in Munich, for instance, at the moment, isn't he, getting that surgery on his hernia. So I don't think we can read too much into that. But, of course, Germany is a market that they're going to tap into. And I did notice as well that Coventry have made a signing from Germany, which is Chris Badland, isn't it, who was the initial head of recruitment under Stuart Webber. So, I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's a man that we see come back to Norwich one day. But I think him and Webber are on pretty good terms, aren't they? So that was maybe a market that they sort of together had looked into. But this lad did have a bit of experience in Germany as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he started his career there with Red Bull Leipzig. I think he also had a spell in the third tier, didn't he, of Germany. So he's probably got a little bit of that development behind him. And that may be where Stuart Webber or Daniel Farker have become aware of this lad. Of course, we know that they've got recruitment analysts who sort of delve into deep into statistics and look for the ones that sort of hit up on the style of player that they like and that Daniel Farker likes. So it may be just a coincidence. But yeah, he was with Red Bull Leipzig, I think, when he was 15. But sadly, had to move back to Poland or wanted to move back to Poland because his mother was very ill and she's... She sadly passed away whilst he was playing in the lower divisions in Poland. But yeah, it's kind of been a climb back to the top for him in Poland. Started off in the lower divisions and has sort of progressed quite quickly to the high levels. And I mean, he only spent a year at his club prior to moving to Norwich City and actually turned down Legia Warsaw, who are obviously the sort of big force in Poland as well. So there's clearly some pedigree behind him, probably some sort of unconventional type of pedigree. It's not like he's played for a massive club and has almost fallen away, as we've seen with some Norwich City signings. He's almost sort of had to move away from potentially a pathway of progression to climbing back up in his native country. So whether I'm guessing that hunger will be there in supply to prove himself again abroad. And I think he said in an interview in Poland that actually he did want to go abroad and play football. And obviously a lot of European players target England, don't they? And to try and get the opportunity to play in the Premier League. Norwich, of course, have just come down from the Premier League. So he will see this as a great opportunity to eventually play in that division. And it's a target, I think, for a lot of players. But yeah, he had a spell in Germany. I think we probably expect to see a few moves, probably ins and outs from Norwich with the German market. It's a market they know well. I think it's probably becoming a bit more highlighted in English football, and whether Norwich and Stuart Webber has helped shine a light on that market is perhaps getting a quality for lower value. I'm not sure, but it certainly seems to be a market that we're seeing clubs use a lot more now. And Coventry, you've referenced, I'm sure there'll be a lot more examples as well this summer.
Yeah, Philip Heiser is probably one example of a player who it might stay there. I can't see him getting back involved. And maybe if Jamal Lewis goes, he might get a chance in pre-season. But with McCallum coming in, you'd be surprised to see that. But as already mentioned, Maurice Leitner, I mean, it seemed like he was going to go in January, then has barely been involved. So you wouldn't be at all surprised to see him playing in the German second tier next season. And Bundesliga move might be optimistic. I was a bit surprised with Poland. There's only so much you read into this, but the UEFA coefficient of sort of that ranks sort of the strength of leagues, doesn't it? So Spain is ranked as number one, unsurprisingly, then England, Germany, Italy, France. And Poland is all the way down in 29th in that ranking. And I thought it would be higher in that. I thought because of that, you know, internationally, they're pretty decent, aren't they? And they've had a reasonable amount, you know, Lewandowski's Polish, isn't he? And Fabianski at West Ham. There's been plenty of examples of good Polish players over here. But they're behind Kazakhstan, Israel, Norway, Serbia, Cyprus. So I suppose it depends how much faith you want to put in the UEFA coefficient, but I thought that the Polish standard would have been higher than that. Maybe it's just me.
No, I would have thought that as well. Yeah, that's interesting, perhaps on the caliber of player that Norwich are recruiting. But I think we've seen it again with Sorensen. They're looking really for players that have outgrown the country that they're in. And I think, again, in the piece later on, the scout talks about how he essentially thinks now is the right time for Pochetta to move away from Poland because he feels like he's far too good for that league. And we've seen other players do it. Kamil Grzycki, who's at West Brom, Polish winger, had to get a move away from Poland to progress his career. So I'd say it's probably a natural step for a Polish player. He's only 22, so he's still fairly young. And he will be hoping now to continue his development elsewhere where there are probably, where there's certainly a better standard of football, but equally better facilities, better coaching and probably a better environment all round. So there's probably a lot of elements to it that make sense. But yeah, I'm really surprised actually that Polish football is that far down on the list considering Legia Warsaw perhaps and the success that they've had in European competitions over the years. So yeah, that's a shock to me, but that's the markets that Norwich and Stuart Webber in particular like to shop in. And as I said, we've seen that with Sorensen. I mean, his club was bottom of the Danish top flight, and he's a player that they've opted to recruit. So this is what they'll look for, those statistical players that stand out in their respective countries and in divisions that are affordable. And I guess this is one for Norwich City.
Yeah, Sonani is another example of that cause as well, isn't he? Both in Luxembourg. But Cameron Grzycki, you mentioned, I remember Daniel Farke speaking very highly of him when he was at Hull, and he's now done quite well at West Brom, isn't he? But quite a different player. He's more of a technical sort of creator, isn't he? Whereas this guy looks like Grease Lightning. Let's have a look at more of the comments. Callum Howard, it's really good to see City spending some money, but a whole squad overhaul does worry me slightly. With such a tight turnaround, would they have enough time to bed in and become a team, not just 11 blokes? Now, this is something we touched on a bit in the Q&A on Pinker.com on Monday, didn't we? And that is something that I'm concerned about. If you are to sell 4, 5, maybe even 6 players, they may not want to do that, but of course you could get clubs coming in with good offers and maybe being able to offer players European football, you know, someone like a Pookie or a Krull. It's not like Norwich will be totally, I know they've got control of the contract situation, everyone's on long deals pretty much, but, you know, if, I don't know, I'm picking out a club, but Fenerbahce have been linked with Pookie in the past, haven't they? How much you want to read into those links is probably debatable. But say a Turkish club came in with good money and offered Champions League football, that's going to be difficult to turn down. Or we saw the links to Jamal Lewis to Liverpool. That would be very difficult for the player clearly would want it, wouldn't they? And from the club's point of view, they would know that denying that move would be kind of difficult. So, yeah, the turnover can only go so far, can't it?
Yeah, I think it can, because you're then getting into the realms of sort of squad dynamics and the harmony between the players. And ultimately, you need some form of chemistry. I think we saw that in the Championship. And certainly, I think season one under Daniel Farke is a good example. They tried to bed in almost this German contingent of players and probably really struggled. And had it not been for the goals of James Maddison, then who knows where Norwich City would be at the moment. So there is a risk perhaps of bringing in too many too quickly and getting a period perhaps where things are a bit disjointed and passes are played to the side of players where they want it in front. I mean, this lad's probably a good example. He will probably want to receive the ball completely differently to perhaps Emi Buendia or Todd Cantwell. So then you're asking a different sort of style from your midfielders. So there's an element of that, and that can't be replicated. You can have the best players in the world, but if you've got no cohesion, that's going to be very difficult to produce anything on the pitch. So there is an element of that for sure. I think that probably is why they want to do a lot of their business early. Obviously, it's going to be a relatively short pre-season anyway, but if they can get a lot of these signings through the door for day one of pre-season, then that ultimately is going to help how they get on and their chemistry of other players. So I think if you're asking them to sell or a squad overhaul, however you want to put a number on that and how many players that is in and out, it's going to be a big ask, I think, for them to then start playing like we saw in Daniel Farke's second year. So there can be a little bit of a transitional period. Norwich City, where they are and what the expectations will be, and certainly Daniel Farke can't afford that. So then you're probably asking the coaches and Daniel Farke in particular, how quickly can he pull a squad together that can sing off the same hymn sheet, essentially? And if they can do that, and they can do it quickly, and they can get a style of football that works in the Championship, and we've seen that Daniel Farke's produced that in the past, then I don't think it's anything to fear particularly. But it's all going to be about, for me, how quickly they can get those bodies into the squad and out of the squad as well.
Yeah, I think that they're going to need to keep a core of the squad there. You know, that the leaders ideally are still going to be Johan Lees, Zimmermans, Tete, Krull. I think they would love to hold on to Krull, and I still think there's probably a decent chance that they will do, depending on who comes in for him. You know, maybe even Pookie. You wouldn't necessarily describe him as leader in terms of being vocal, but in terms of in the Championship last year, leading by example, then he was ideal, wasn't he? And he's such a good character as well. You know that he's a good egg, essentially. I was reading Melissa Rudd's column, which is in tomorrow's papers, will be online later, and she makes the point that Pookie scored more goals last season in the Championship than Norwich have this whole season, just on his own. 26 so far, and 29 he scored in the Championship last year. So it's going to be really interesting, and it is an unprecedented time, like you say, because there's such a short turnaround between the seasons and there's so much uncertainty around it. It is going to be a real test for someone like Stuart Webber. I mean, wow, is he going to be busy? He already is, quite clearly. The club are, you know, already getting the stuff out, and we've got still got the Manchester City game to come on Sunday, haven't we? Craig Brown asks if Sorensen is a defensive midfielder or attacking midfielder. He's defensive. He said in his interviews when he arrived that he could play at centre-back as well. Connor did a nice sort of full profile piece on him. That's at pickin.com if you want to have a little bit of a dig into his character. Jeff Riches says, watched him on the tube, which is Guachetu he's talking about. Great left foot, quick feet, willing to have a go, not just walk in. Sounds decent. Julian Scott, now that Jordan Rhodes is available on a free, what are the chances he'll be back at Carrow Road? I don't think that's accurate, is it? I think he's still got a year left on his Sheffield Wednesday contract, I'm reasonably sure. Do you know off the top of your head, Connor?
No, I can't say I do without looking. I think he probably is, isn't he? I think he's out of contract this summer. I think it was a year left last summer when Norwich were linked with him. But I can't see a situation where Jordan Rhodes ends up at Norwich, particularly with Josip Dermich. I think that there's probably a conversation to be had around his future, and equally Adam Eder. And when we talk about sort of established strikers in the Championship, I mean, you laid out Timmy Pukki's statistics there. That's what Norwich City are going to need, particularly if they want to bed in someone like Adam Eder. And if he can chip in with a few and take the burden off Timmy Pukki, then that's going to help Norwich enormously. But I can't see them. I mean, how old's Jordan Rhodes now? He must be 30s, mustn't he? So,
yeah.
That kind of goes against their recruitment model, doesn't it? And the character of recruit they like to bring in, they typically tend to be 28 or younger as a general rule.
Hmm. Well, I think I've looked at this before. I just quickly Googled it. And the Sheffield Star did a story suggesting that he's out of contract. But I remember when Paddy went and spoke to Stuart Webber after promotion last year, Stuart had said that he had 2 years left on his contract. So I wonder whether maybe there's an option there and that's what's causing the confusion. But even if he is available, I don't know. I think that if Dermich were to go, then yeah, I'd probably be up for bringing Rhodes in. But he's not going to want to come in on a 1 year deal or anything, is he? And he's still going to command reasonably decent wage. I think most Norwich fans would be pretty satisfied to see him come in. But it's not a very forward thinking move, is it? And Webber seemed to be of that opinion last summer, really.
Yeah, I think so. And you've got to remember as well, Josip Dermich is in the building. And I think from what we've seen in the Premier League, and you can have your opinions on Josip Dermich, I think he'd be very competent at Championship level, to be honest. And if you're then talking about a front three of Pukki, Dermich and Eder, I think that's more than capable. If you're then throwing Rhodes into the mix, you've also got, he's going to want game time. He's going to have his demands as well. At his age, he's not getting younger. He needs to play football. That's before we get into the talk about potential wages and stuff like that. I'm sure he'd love to come back. I'm sure that there are people inside the club as well that would love to have him back. But it's just whether they can match it up. And also they can do it in a way that doesn't stop Adam Eder's progression. Because I think that's going to be massive. I think we've seen that this year, really, when perhaps he probably would have benefited from another loan with the benefit of hindsight. And we're in a position where he's kind of not in the first team and probably a bit too good for the 23. So he's in this sort of halfway house, essentially. And I think if Norwich want to develop him, then they need to give him a bit more football in the Championship, essentially. And I think that from the glimpses we've seen since lockdown, essentially, I think he's proven that he'll be a more than viable option in the Championship as well. So unless one of those three departs, then I can't see a situation where Jordan Rhodes should or would come back to Norwich City.
Yeah, physically, Adam is ready, isn't he? You know, he is bigger than Pukki and Dermich quite by, a couple of inches, probably. Yeah. And that lad, if he's not playing regularly next year, then him and his agent may well start to get itchy feet because, you know, he's got a big reputation. He's a Republic of Ireland under 21 international. Mick McCarthy was talking about him before he left. And the under 21's manager is now the senior manager, isn't he? Stephen Kenny. So he will know all about Adam, who has had a prolific record at youth levels, has really been a big part of Kenny's success. So, you know, international football's kind of been a bit on hold, isn't it? But whether he would be involved straight away, whether he would be involved in like their European playoffs, I don't know. But I don't think it will be long before they're going to want to get him in that senior setup. So, yeah, I think Eder is going to be a big part of that. But the one thing, again, with this being a kind of unprecedented situation, is that they'll have pre-season to assess these things. And then the window is still open until at least early October, and then there's another couple of weeks for Championship clubs to do business in October, isn't there? So They've got a bit of time on their side.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This follows on from that as well. Herman asks, will we really need some centre-back backup? Any speculation on such? Do you think Webber/Farke will buy another defender? So there's not really been any central defensive names linked, have there? Joe Worrell, the Forest defender, was mentioned in January, but I think they kind of used Norwich to get a new contract there, and he is a Nottingham boy, so I wouldn't have thought he'll be jumping ship just because they haven't got promoted. Are they in the playoffs, Forest? Can't remember off the top of my head.
Yes, I think they are. Yeah, Limucci's done a good job there this year, hasn't he? I think they are.
Yeah, so they've missed out on automatic, haven't they? But they've still got the chance in the playoffs. It's double
check. Fifth, are they?
Right. Yeah, they could. It's not 100% yet. Swansea. Yeah, it would take a bit of a goal swing and for them to lose and Swansea to win heavily on tonight, isn't it? The final
tonight, yeah.
Championship. So Forest are at home to Stoke, Swansea at Reading. So they just basically need a point and they'll be in the playoffs. But anyway, he's the only central defensive option that I've really seen discussed. But this comes down to the injuries, doesn't it? You know, you've got Zimmerman, Closer and Hanley. You know, if they're fully fit and they're confident that they've got a full season in them, then even if Godfrey goes, you've got Famuo coming into things. You maybe need one to go. We've seen Sean Raggett's been released today as kind of expected, despite playing regularly in League One. He never has really seemed like a Daniel Farke player, has he? Not really had the passing game. But so you're probably looking at, if you presume that Godfrey goes, at least one, but probably two are needed.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think if Godfrey stays, I think probably the picture changes slightly because I think the options that they have, I think have proven they're more than good at championship level. It's just a question of can you keep them fit and can you rely upon them to be fit? And okay, there's probably been a little bit of luck to do with their injuries this season, but when you're looking at Grant Hanley, who's spent a lot of time out injured, Tim Close, or a lot of time out injured, Zimmerman as well, I'd throw under that bracket. I think you probably need one more just for protection purposes, really. Of course, for Mayweather who enters it, and again, we can have the Eder debate, I guess, of whether he's ready to step into the first team. But I think even with those options, and even if Ben Godfrey stayed, they need at least one, I think, just to shore up that area and to give Daniel Farke the option of playing a free. I think that's an interesting thing as well that we've seen him do in sort of fits and starts, I think, during his Norwich City spell. And obviously, we saw it last pre-season, didn't we? There was a game, was it Schalke? He played a free at the back. And I think he sort of confessed that he would have liked to have played that more if he'd have had the options available. So I think purely for depth and also for competition and also because of the sort of reliability of those centre-backs, they probably do need one or two more. But then equally, if you're saying Sorensen can play centre-back, then maybe they see him as a viable option potentially. So I think there are several moving parts to it. I think a lot of it probably depends on whether Godfrey goes and whether any of those other defenders go as well. But I'm with you. I'd like to see them bring in at least one, but probably two more options.
Yeah, because for me, I want there to be more of a plan B. Okay, I personally would be looking at trying to build next season on a three at the back, because if you're going back to the Premier League, you need to go back in a different style to how they've done it this time. I'm not convinced Daniel will do that, but I would like to see that as more of a plan B option, you know, if things aren't going well or if you need to shore things up during a game, to be able to switch to a three at the back which needs numbers essentially. They've not had the centre back numbers when the injuries have struck this year to retain that as an option. I guess Byram could probably do a job on the right of a back three, but if you take those experienced three closer, it certainly suits him to be on the left of a three. Hanley in the middle of one as well. Zimmerman, he's maybe better suited to a two, but I think he's fine on the right of it. And you've got, that's three leaders, three really experienced guys. If they're fit, I've got no worries about their ability in the Championship at all. I think that would put up quite a decent wall. And if you've still got, say, Jamal Lewis as a left wing back and Byram as a right wing back, you've got a pretty solid setup to then build off with what your four attacking players in front of them, or no, five attacking players in front of them, with a little bit less worry about having to work defensively. But that's the sort of thing that is just going to evolve almost week by week, I think, isn't it, in how we assess how they're building up to next season. But Barry Young says Hanley injuries worries to start with Raggett gone, we need centre-backs. Sorry, that's lacked some punctuation there, isn't it? He's saying he's worried about Hanley's injuries. Raggett's now gone, we need centre-backs. And we had some quotes which are on pinken.com at the moment from Grant Hanley. He's saying that he's looking at being fit for the early stages of next season. So looks like he may not even be involved in pre-season and things like that. What else we got here? Matt Canning, new players are already training with our current squad. Yeah, that's right, isn't it, Connor, with Sinani, McCallum, etc.?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, those three, I think, have been training since their contract was start of July, wasn't it, when their contracts officially expired at their respective clubs and the transfer saw them to move to Norwich. Sinani, certainly, we've had pictures of him. McCallum as well, obviously, all became Norwich players on the first City as well. So I think them three have been bedded in for probably quite a while. I think they've probably been doing a lot of their work with the under-23s who are back in training now as they sort of look ahead to the new season. But equally, I think when they do come into that first team environment, you're going to get three players that have at least had a little bit of a spell at Colney, will be familiar with the surroundings and hopefully familiar with a few of the squad as well. So that should help the issues that we spoke about at the top of the show in terms of a potential overhaul. That you should hopefully, the earlier you bring these players in, get them more familiar with the surroundings quicker. And of course, language barriers and perhaps picking up friends as well. I think City's English is a little bit questionable from what we've seen. So I think in his interview with the club, he had a translator, I think, or certainly translation put over it. So there are a lot of areas, but yeah, I think those three certainly will be ready to go for pre-season. Obviously the two lads as well. I think Placetta, Putretta, his season has ended now, so he can essentially join those and Sorensen as well. So five players, they're ready to come in pretty much as soon as the season ends, which is only really a positive to be in. And of course we're expecting a few more as well. So I think they're in a strong position in terms of recruits. It's good to see them get business done early. And I think from Stuart Webber's perspective, I think there's a degree of wanting to show some proactivity, wanting to show that they're not going to sort of dwell on this relegation. It's been in the works for a while, hasn't it? So you'd imagine their planning has been pretty straightforward. They're not in a position of, say, Watford or Aston Villa, where they're kind of having to plan for two scenarios, or they have had to plan for two scenarios for a while. This is been in the works really since January, so you would imagine their planning has sort of stepped up as relegation has got closer. So they've probably been able to enact a few more deals a bit quicker than perhaps other clubs would. So they should be theoretically in a stronger position than the two that come down alongside them. But I say theoretically very strongly. So yeah, I think it's going to be crucial with a shorter pre-season that they do get their house in order pretty quickly, and that they do get those new recruits in the door pretty quickly. And from what we've seen over the last couple of days, and perhaps again what we know in terms of players coming in the future, and there are so many rumours as well, that means that they're going to be in a pretty strong position in terms of their squad, I think, come the first day of pre-season, which can only be a positive for Daniel Farker in terms of stability and in terms of sort of getting his plans ready for next season.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet saying we must be the only club ever to spend more after relegation than when we did after promotion, which is not quite true yet. Because as we've pointed out a few times, if you actually look at the club's finances, they did spend more than that. I have got it on my phone. I'll just because I don't think a lot of people have tagged this, but because it's hidden away at the back of the finances. Deep into the accounts, yeah. Because the only permanent fee was the $750,000 for Byron, wasn't it? And then they paid, $500,000, I think, something like that, for Rupp in January. So they were the only permanent fees. But for the finances end of 2018-19, it said, subsequent of the year, and the group has acquired the registrations of Dermot Byron, Bashiri, Patrick Roberts, Ralph Fairman, and Ibrahim Amadou on season-long loans. The group is committed to payments of £6.2 million in respect of these transactions, with further payments due of £4.7 million dependent on club and or player performances. So it's at least £6 million, which I know is still small scale in Premier League terms. It's still not very much, but they didn't just spend £750,000 last summer. That isn't reflective of the truth, because they also gave new contracts to basically everyone in the squad, didn't they? So the £750,000 is a little bit misleading, I think. But Craig Brown says, Hanley's great if he stays fit, but he's too injury prone. Time to move him on in the final 12 months of his contract. That's not right, Craig. He is contracted till 2023. I remember it because I was in Tampa covering the warm weather training camp when it was announced. I'd interviewed Grant before the story actually came out in UK time the following day, and had a video chat with him while they were having their, I think it was a training session at the Rowdy Stadium. So that was when Grant was still injured. But, of course, he'd just been named captain by Farke for that season. He'd taken over from Ivo Pinto. He'd been runner-up in player of the season in Farke's first season as well, behind James Maddison. So, and to be perfectly honest, I feel really sorry for Grant at the moment, because I would say he was Norwich's best defender before the break. He was really finding some consistency and looked to be enjoying himself. And there's no doubt that he's a leader. I think during the lockdown, he really did show some good leadership and really embraced the captaincy role. And, you know, maybe his delivery is a bit gruff at times, but when you actually read what he says, he cares a great deal about that position and really seems like he wants to be a success at this club. He doesn't want to be moving on elsewhere. So I would be very surprised if Grant Hanley's not involved next season, and probably would say that I hope he is.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Michael Garwood, based on what you know, have there been any signs of discontent shown between players and management, particularly in light of the restart frustrations? Presumably we won't be seeing Leitner again. I'll just give you 30 seconds to think about that, Connor, because that's quite a big question. But from personally, I haven't heard much in terms of discontent. Obviously, any relegation season, any campaign where you've only won 5 games, where things have been miserable, there have been arguments, there have been tense words, harsh words, no doubt, from Farke towards the players, arguments in the dressing room. But in a way, that's football. As a fan, you would expect that, wouldn't you? Because you don't want them all sat around there going, oh, well, never mind, because then that shows that they don't care. I don't think you can really level at this club, that the players at the club, they don't care, because you can see how much it's hurt them recently. And you can see in Weber's face and Farke's face that this has been a tough time. So, yeah, you know, Leitner may well have not liked that day when he was moved into the number 10 role against Man United, taken off at half-time. Maybe he overstepped the mark. Farke officially has never said otherwise, has he? But, yeah, that's my take on it. What do you think, Colin?
Yeah, I'd echo a lot of that, to be honest. I think the issue for me with Norwich City this season has been quality. Nothing about sort of discontent or sort of arguments between the squad and the management. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I think whenever a club goes down, I think the natural response is to think, well, there must have been a falling out, or the manager's lost the dressing room, which is
it is,
and it's probably a little bit of a poor take as well at times, because we all saw the manner in which the club came up to the Premier League and how friendly it was. There was so much talk, and I think Tim Krul came out and said it, and there were several others who came out and said that the strength of the dressing room was unlike anything they'd seen in their careers anywhere else. So that doesn't just break overnight. And you can perhaps argue it's fractured maybe, but it would be when they're losing games. Players do hurt, and you know, contrary to popular belief, they are affected by the results. And as you say, there will be harsh words, and I don't think that's necessarily a negative thing. We hear a lot about these sort of cultural enablers, and that's what I talk about Grant Hanley as being, as someone who almost enforces the club culture and who reiterates the standards. And I think that just because players are setting standards, and maybe there are sort of crosswords in the dressing room, that's not always necessarily a bad thing. And it depends how you use it, I guess. And really, I think we'll probably see from the summer who goes and who stays, and maybe their influence on the dressing room. I think Grant Hanley, evidently Tim Krul's another chuck on that team, Ipuki, we spoke about as being influential. So I think there are some powerful figures in that dressing room. And equally, it was always going to get tested. But these are still players who owe the chance to playing in the Premier League to Daniel Farke, who didn't have any complaints when Norwich was storming the Championship, and probably really I think are as accountable as Daniel Farke for some of the perceived failures this year. So I don't think anyone can really have too many complaints in that dressing room about relegation. I think that there are a few certainly who will believe that they want to stay at Premier League level, and that's up to them, isn't it? And that's up to the club to decide, and there may be sort of fallings out and words crossed, but ultimately this is a Norwich City squad who are responsible for a very good points return in the Championship, who won the title and who came up to the Premier League as united as ever. Now it's Daniel Farke's task to ensure that sort of unity remains, and that they can harness that and use it again in the Championship. But what I would say is that I think unity and sort of togetherness probably has a bigger impact in the Championship than in the Premier League. I think you can probably get away with it more, and that's because of the lack of lesser quality in the Championship. You don't get punished as much. So I think it's probably easier to use that togetherness in the Championship. But I think to say there's sort of discontent, and look, it's possible we're not privy to what goes on inside the walls of Colney or the dressing room, but I think to speculate that is probably just lazy because they got relegated, to be honest. And I think it's probably an easy assumption to make, but I think it's probably a bit more complex and probably a bit more fluid than that, to be honest.
Yeah, because this isn't your typical relegation, is it? As we're seeing, Norwich are basically in an unusual position that other teams haven't taken up, and I still get the vibe that the majority of those players are pretty tight, and probably because the club did back them after promotion. They didn't say, right, you're surplus to requirements now. They kept that as a group, and they backed them, and then they've come up short. That's they've been pretty open with that. You know, Alex Tetti, Tim Krul in recent weeks have all just openly said, we haven't been good enough. And I think they were ground down by the misfortune of the injuries and things like that, and it all got to them in the end, didn't it? We probably need to wrap in the next 10 minutes. So I just wanted to get through a few more comments. Kevin Andrews, our defence wasn't good enough at Championship level and hasn't been for several years. It needs improving as a priority. I think we've agreed with that, although I do think that it's Daniel Farke's style as well, which is kind of an acceptance of accepting goals with the high fullbacks and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that's the risk they take, isn't it, by playing the way they do. The fullbacks occupy the halfway line a lot of the time. If you give the ball away, there's going to be a space to attack. So I think that's probably a consequence of the way they play, partly. But equally, we look at that sort of defence, and we've been through Jamal Lewis, Grant Hanley, Christoph Zimmermann, Tim Closer, Max Ahrens, all good individuals. I think probably the bigger issue for me is the wider structure, as you said, and that midfield as well, and perhaps giving that defence a bit more protection. That's the task for me, and hopefully we'll see Sorensen offer a bit of something different in that defensive midfield position.
The difference between Premier League and Championship is stark. You know, we've literally seen it played out in the last 18 months or whatever, and the quality is a vast step. Defences are so much better at this level. Craig Brown says, why can't Weber recruit a big 6-foot wing back with pace? Reece James is a good example at Chelsea. Well, Reece James is probably worth about 50 million at the moment, so probably not a great example, but Philip Hayes is about 6 foot, so you could say he has, but that one's not really worked out. I get Craig's point. Max in particular, probably his height has been a bit of a disadvantage, and particularly when you compare him to Byram, who is very good in the air, isn't he? Jamal's not far off 6 foot though, so I think height is definitely something there now. appreciating that they need more of, particularly once you get out to the Premier League. Robert Fogarty asked what the player quota situation is, which I guess he means the homegrown players. Yeah, they go back to seven next year. So seven in the matchday squad of 18. That is due to be voted on again before the start of next season, but I don't think there's any expectation that that will change at this stage. But they pushed that line quite a lot, didn't they, last season? And I think they will be okay on that front. If I'm correct, I think Adam Eder now counts as a homegrown player because he's been here for 3 years and he signed before he was 18. So he's one that counts towards. You've got Josh Martin there, of course. That will depend on what happens with Aaron Lewis, Campbell and Godfrey. But Krull counts as one, doesn't he? Hanley counts as one. You've got Louis Thompson coming back in, Sam McCallum. So I think in terms of homegrown, they're probably reasonably comfortable with where they are. But that may be an influence that we see in the next few transfers. Daniel Bayfield says, surely we expect Lewis to go with McCallum coming in. Can't see why he'd come back here to be backup. Also need a new right back with Aaron's likely to go and Byron's fitness issues. What do you make of that, Colin?
I think what I would argue is there's what, 46 games in the Championship. You probably need two good fullbacks. I think with the intensity and the scheduling that we're looking at as well, I don't think there's... And we see really top teams do it. Liverpool, Tottenham did it under Pochettino, where they almost change their fullbacks every so often. And I think if you've got two really strong options in those positions, then that could be really viable. If you're looking at Lewis and McCallum, well, there are two players who can share the load a little bit, and then you're probably not asking Jamal Lewis to do so much. And on the right as well, with Max Aarons and Sam Byram, if Max sticks around, and also Jamal as well, I guess, to an extent, you've got two really good options that you can go between as well and sort of share the load a little bit. And I don't think any Norwich fans would probably argue about the quality of certainly those three players. McCallum, obviously, we haven't seen yet, but I think he's probably a little bit raw for the Championship as of yet, but we'll see how he develops. So I don't think it's a bad position to be in. It's just more options, horses for courses, I guess, and it's up to Daniel Farker to get the best out of them. What I would say is if they do play a three, we have seen Jamal play as the left-sided centre-back on occasion, so there's a possibility perhaps of playing Jamal and Sam McCallum in the same team, but we'll see how Daniel Farker works it. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we see them change their fullbacks a bit more because of potentially of how much they ask them to work and how hard and how athletic they have to be. I think that would be probably quite a viable option for Daniel Farker.
Yeah, it's not that long ago that McCallum was playing in non-league, is it? So
no.
I don't think he can turn up at Norwich City and expect to be walking into that left-back position, particularly if Jamal is still there. He's, you know, still a young man. He's still going to have to force his way in. I don't think we can expect that he's just going to walk into the Norwich side. Julian Scott says, is Linvoi Primus still available? I dare say he is available on a free transfer, however old he is now. David Mount, I think if we can maintain most of the squad for next season back in the Championship and the players we have already signed to add to the squad, yes, the new signings need time to bed in. However, if the current and new signings are hungry for success with a mixture of older and younger players in the current squad, we will have a great squad for being back in the Championship. So that's a bit of optimism. And the other thing that we're sort of seeing a few headlines about is that there's clubs under threats of points deductions, Derby, Sheffield Wednesday, of course, Wigan. So you never know. Leeds already gone out of the division, which I think is a good thing. Hopefully West Brom will be the other team to be promoted. And then you've got Rotherham, Coventry and Oxford. Wickham coming up. So, you know, I don't think any of them are going to be expecting to be challenging for promotion next year. It could, we'll see. You have to have the right attitude for the Championship. You literally cannot expect any easy points. You have to battle and scrap every 3 or 4 days, and you have to do it consistently, which is what Norwich did manage to do. But it could be a good year to be in the Championship. Jonathan Parker asks, with two left-sided players coming in, are we preparing ourselves for Cantwell's departure? Connor, what do you make of that?
Possibly. It's really difficult to say, isn't it, at the moment. It's hard for me to sort of picture what sort of club Todd would go to or could go to. The problem for him, I think, for me, is unlike Aarons and Lewis, he hasn't had that season in the Championship where he's a consistent starter and performing out of his skin. So that might work in Norwich's favour in terms of keeping him. But it wouldn't surprise me either way, to be honest. If Todd went, I don't think that would be a particular surprise to me. And if he stayed, it wouldn't be a surprise to me. I think he's got a real chance now to almost replicate what Jack Grealish did with Villa if he did stay at Norwich. And they're recruiting wide players. It wouldn't surprise me if they saw him. And we've seen it fairly recently in a few games where they've moved him to the 10 position. So Todd Cantwell as a number 10 for me would be the best in the Championship. So that really is vital. I guess it depends how him and his representatives see his career panning out. But I think if there's an option of a Premier League move, then I don't think anyone could begrudge him that really after his development this year. But I think it will probably, not to sit on the fence, but I think it will probably be dependent on the interest that arrive for him. But I personally would like to see him stay at Norwich another year and help get the club back up. He's a local lad. And again, we've seen how beneficial that's been for Jack Grealish's career. If he follows that sort of model, then that could be something that helps him push on even further. I think the potential for Todd is that he goes to a top six club and sort of fades away a little bit and doesn't play as much football as he wants. So if he is going to get a move to the Premier League, I think it needs to be somewhere like James Maddison, where he's going to play consistently to help his development and help his career.
Leicester and Newcastle have both been mentioned by the Daily Mail, I think, in the last week, haven't they? So, you know, that's interesting. Does that mean that maybe somebody's made a move for Maddison and they could just see it, the conveyor belt rolling through? But just finally, then, one last one from Luke, NCFC Fields. Do you think the reason for Pukki not starting is Farker resting him for the start of next season? He hasn't been the same player since his toe injury. That's quite an optimistic view. I mean, some people have read that. Does that mean that Pukki's going and that they were starting Dermot ahead of him because they're expecting Dermot to be the number one striker next season? Who, you know, if he stayed fit with the goal scoring record that he has had in the past, if he could get on a roll like Pukki did in the Championship, he could well tear that division up. He's a Switzerland international, but I think that could be the thing with him, which could be the case with Krull as well, maybe, is that he's got a European Championship place to play for with Switzerland. So, Pukki, I think it's just confidence. I think his toe is sorted now. I think it's been sorted for a while. He had basically 3 months to get it rested. It was only a fractured toe. We're not talking about a particularly serious injury. I think the problem was that Dermot was injured at the time that he was, and they kept flogging him when he wasn't fully fit, missed a few chances. And then his confidence, as happens with strikers, particularly in a relegation battle, it started to disappear. So we shall see. I think, as we said a bit earlier, if Norwich have got Pukki, Dermot and Eder as their striker options at the start of the Championship next season, I think that could be pretty decent if they're all committed to the cause and all fired up for it and happy that they're going to get enough game time. But I don't know. As we said, I think it's going to be week by week at the moment. Who comes in for players? What players' personal intentions are. There's a lot to be sorted out, and as we said earlier, Stuart Webber is going to be a very busy man. Right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for all the questions. We've got plenty more to crack on with, so do head over to pinken.com. That feature that we were talking about earlier that Connor's written on Poicheta.
Brilliant.
It's getting better every time.
We'll
be rolling our tongues over it soon.
Yeah, we'll be fluent in Polish by October.
Oh, that's optimistic. But yes, thank you very much for all the questions, and we'll catch you very soon.